This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 6th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll get an update on the controversy that still surrounds the state's mandatory ethics test for state employees. Also get a forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, today's news. State corrections officials are once again trying to close the Pontiac Correctional Center. Spokesman Sergio Molina says the department plan would move most of the 1,600 inmates out of Pontiac to the more modern Thompson Maximum Security Prison near the Quad Cities, which has never fully opened since it was built 7 years ago.
What we're looking at is a phase out, if you will, of the Pontiac facility beginning in January, along with the phase in of the operation at the Thompson facility in January as well.
Molina says closing the Pontiac prison would save the state money and prison employees would have opportunities to transfer to other correctional facilities. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy says the economic impact would go beyond the Pontiac prison's 550 workers.
The vast majority of them are going to live within the county. But then you have all the vendors, you have all of the outside support that come into the facility to provide the services, to provide the food, to do all these different things. The impact's going to be wide and deep if it happens.
McCoy accuses Governor Oblagojevich of using the threat of closing Pontiac to get larger budget points across, just as he did with a proposed but abandoned cut to the U of I extension. State law requires a public hearing before the Pontiac prison could be closed. Meanwhile, the Blagojevich administration says all the money owed agriculture programs in the state will be released, but as Sean Crawford reports, it's unclear exactly when.
Kelly Quinn with the governor's budget office says about $38 million that's been held up will eventually go out to agencies like Cooperative Extension and Soil and Water Districts. But first, the agencies must fill out necessary paperwork.
Some of the grantees might take a little bit longer to get the paperwork back to us. Some might get it in quicker. That's why it's hard to give you an exact day of or date of when they will be paid out.
Quinn says the completed paperwork will be turned over to the Illinois Comptroller, who writes the checks for the state. A quick turnaround is important for those agencies who've been waiting on their money for months, and with only about 8 weeks to go before the end of the fiscal year, time is running out. Some have already begun layoffs. Others in line for funding include county fairs and an ag research program through the University of Illinois. While many question the governor's change of heart in releasing the money, his office denies a political deal was made. I'm Sean Crawford.
After 7 weeks of prosecution witnesses, attorneys for Tony Rezko got a chance yesterday to put on their defense, but they declined, as Robert Wildebor reports.
Rezko's attorneys didn't ask a single question or call a single witness. It appears they want jurors to focus on the questionable character of the witnesses that the government is pinning its case on. Duffy gave the jurors plenty of reason to doubt the cast of characters who testified against Rezko: a heavy drug user, crooked businessmen, and political insiders who used their power to enrich themselves and their friends. Several of the witnesses have pleaded guilty to charges in other cases and were cooperating with prosecutors. Duffy suggested they were pointing the finger at Rezko simply to please the government and get lighter sentences for themselves. Attorneys will be tying up legal loose ends for the rest of this week and preparing for closing arguments, which are scheduled for Monday and Tuesday. Deliberations could begin late next week. I'm Robert Wildebor.
An Illinois appellate court has dismissed two lawsuits in response to last year's retirement of Chief Illiniwek. University of Illinois students and chief portrayers Dan Maloney and Logan Ponce and Champaign attorney John Gadow filed separate suits against the U of I's Board of Trustees. The attorney for the students, Brent Holmes, says he has yet to decide if an appeal will be made to the Illinois Supreme Court. He says the best way now to reinstate the chief would be by electing state lawmakers who would appoint trustees supporting the symbol.
We'll do whatever it takes to accomplish that. It may take a significant a period of time, but it may have a longer lasting permanent impact than what a temporary order from a court may have provided us ultimately.
Holmes says chief supporters could also back legislation to elect U of I trustees rather than having them appointed. Last week's decision by the 4th District Appellate Court upheld the rulings made by a Champaign County judge last June. Gadow couldn't be reached for comment on whether he would appeal his lawsuit. Urbana City Council is allowing an anti-Semitic public access program to remain on the city's cable channel. But as AM580's Jim Meadows reports, the city will start looking for counter-programming to air before or after the show.
Urbana City officials say changing the rules in public access programming to target the weekly show from Urbana resident Timothy Brumleave could open them up to a lawsuit. So the City Council approved revised public access rules that limit repeat airings of the show due to its non-local content, but still allow it to run. But the council also directed city staff to seek out counter-programming refuting Brumleave's anti-Semitic themes. Alderman Dennis Roberts opposed the move. He says he didn't like the city targeting an individual resident's program. But Alderman Brian Bowersox, who proposed the idea, said in this case it makes sense.
The shows are anti-Semitic, and I think it's okay for us on this particular topic to acquire and produce programming that refutes the facts in this show, to talk about the fact that the Holocaust happened and what's the historical record.
Council members heard from citizens on both sides of the issue. Some agreed with encouraging counter-programming, while others criticized the city council for not banning or at least severely limiting Brumleave's show. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign's largest factory, the Kraft Foods plant, is not actually in the city of Champaign. A bill before the Champaign City Council tonight will keep things that way for the next 20 years. Kraft opened the plant at Bradley and Mattis outside the Champaign city limits in 1963, but the city gradually grew around the factory. And in 1987, a new state law allowed cities like Champaign to annex properties wholly surrounded by city territory. Deputy City Attorney Tricia Crowley says the Kraft plant seemed like a likely annexation candidate, but Kraft thought otherwise.
Kraft objected and argued that it wasn't completely surrounded and filed a lawsuit to maintain that objection. And so eventually the lawsuit was settled, and one of the aspects of it was that Kraft was then disconnected from the city formally.
The agreement to be renewed by the city council allows Kraft to stay out of Champaign but still receive fire protection in exchange for a payment in lieu of property taxes. Crowley says the agreement's a money saver for the food company. A Kraft spokesperson wouldn't comment, saying the agreement's old news. Although state law requires periodic renewal, the agreement stands as long as Kraft stays in the food business and owns the property. Part of the plant entered the city of Champaign when it was sold to Humco in the 1990s. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. For the past 5 years, all employees of the state of Illinois have had to complete mandatory ethics training. It's part of a broad ethics law passed in 2003 when the corruption scandal surrounding former Governor George Ryan increased calls for reform. A few years later, in 2006, the requirement made headlines when two university professors were told they had failed to properly complete the training, threatening their jobs. The professors sued. Ongoing negotiations have finally come to an end. Amanda Vinicky reports on the settlement and looks at whether it settles anything about the value of the annual ethics training.
Marvin Zeman says he didn't time it himself, but the Southern Illinois University math professor will take the state's word for it, that it took him just over 6 minutes to complete his ethics training in mid-September of 2006. He says the online exam was easy, mostly common sense material that matched up with his beliefs in the first place, things like not accepting bribes or payoffs. Zeman says at the end, there was a 10-question comprehension quiz, which he answered perfectly. He then printed out proof he'd taken the required training, a certificate of completion. He says it reminded him of how kindergartners may get an award for doing a simple task.
Which is part of why I sort of taped it up to my door, almost like, you know, I didn't have a refrigerator handy. So, you know, and I couldn't send it to my mother to put up on her refrigerator, so I put it up on my door.
But a month later, Zeman had to take his certificate down. Illinois' Office of Inspector General says Zeman was one of about 1,600 state employees who had gone through the material too fast, so it didn't count. That's despite no stated time limit for the ethics exam. Zeman says he was frustrated and compares it to being stopped by a cop for speeding when even the cop doesn't know the speed limit. Zeman says what really got his dander up was when he got threats he could lose his job. Zeman says he was sent some extra ethics material and was asked to sign a form acknowledging he'd read it. If he refused, he could be fired.
They were questioning my integrity along with several state employees, basically flexing their muscle. I said, hey, you know, if you don't sign this, we're going to threaten your livelihood and your family.
While hundreds of other employees went along with it, Zeman, who was then and still is president of the SIU Carbondale Faculty Association, and another SIU math professor, decided to fight the nullification. They filed a grievance against the university and they sued the state. SIU's ethics officer did not return repeated calls for comment on the matter, though Zeman says an agreement was reached in which he won't be disciplined. As for the lawsuit with the state, that was dealt with separately. Deputy Inspector General Gilbert Jimenez says the point of the annual training is to raise employees' awareness of the ethical pitfalls they may encounter.
We owe it to the taxpayers. We owe it to the citizens in whose name and on whose behalf we carry out the business of government to conduct ourselves ethically and responsibility and above reproach.
He says in 2006, employees were specifically instructed to carefully read and review the material and to strictly follow all instructions.
The online version is comprised of 90 screen pages of material. It defies comprehension how anyone could have claimed to read all 90 pages of material in 2, 4, 6, 7 minutes. It is simply not following instructions to do so, and individuals who did not carefully read and review were notified that they were not in compliance with the statutory requirement.
Therefore, Zeman, who took only 6 minutes to finish, was not in compliance. And anyone who doesn't comply can't work for the state of Illinois. Nonetheless, the state and the SIU professors reached an out-of-court settlement last month. Neither professor will face any discipline, and the settlement acknowledges both passed the test. That doesn't mean, however, Jimenez says, the Inspector General's office has in any way changed how it enforces the ethics law. Jimenez says the law stands just as it has since 2003. And while there are no widely known public instances of any state worker since being punished for taking the test too quickly, Jimenez says the office doesn't keep track, that doesn't mean it can't happen again. Despite the settlement, a state cop, university professor, park ranger, or any other state employee could still be disciplined for taking the test too quickly. This year's exam did include a phrase that the course should take between 30 and 60 minutes to complete. And some state workers have told stories of leaving the website up while they walked around, got coffee, or sent emails before submitting their test. Which brings to question, how effective is this form of ethics training? Anders Lindahl is a spokesperson for AFSCME, a union representing many frontline state workers. He says anytime information is spread about ethical standards, it's a good thing. That said, Lindahl calls it patently ridiculous to punish anyone for taking a test too fast. Furthermore,
it's not frontline employees who have been alleged to be corrupt.
Director of Illinois' Better Government Association, Jay Stewart, has a similar take. Stewart says the training was never meant to be a difficult exam that would magically transform an unethical person into an ethical employee.
It's somewhat educational, so an employee can't say later on down the line, oh, I didn't know that was not allowed. I didn't know that was against the ethics ordinance. Some of it was, you know, preventative. Employees are on notice that this is not tolerated conduct, so if you do it and you get caught, you're in trouble. And I think to some degree it was trying to send a message, trying to sort of tell the public, as it were, we're taking this seriously.
Stewart says Illinois has a long, deeply rooted ethics problem, and it's not always the top brass. Mid-level workers at the Secretary of State and Treasurer's offices are both currently facing charges for fraud and financial schemes. Stewart says that's why employees should take the test seriously. And if they cheat, refuse to take it, or otherwise defy the law, they deserve to face repercussions. But Stewart says clearly, the SIU professor's case doesn't fit into that category.
And sometimes you have to wonder about the Blagojevich administration's priorities. This is what the inspector general is spending their time on. Meanwhile, there we have a federal criminal case here about the state was being looted for millions of dollars. I mean, misplaced priorities would be a charitable way to put it.
Which brings us back to Marvin Zeman, the math professor at Southern Illinois. Zeman says the allegations coming out right now about Governor Rod Blagojevich during the trial of one of his top fundraisers is what's most ironic about the whole thing.
We had the previous governor going to jail, and, you know, and the present governor is certainly under scrutiny. He hasn't been indicted yet, but, you know, people think that he might very well be. And so to have people who have done these sort of things questioning my integrity is in some sense the biggest irony of all.
According to the ethics law, Blagojevich himself has to take the annual ethics training. There's no word on how long it took the governor to complete it in 2003, and some may question just how much good it did him. While Blagojevich has not been accused of and denies any wrongdoing, many observers and lawmakers say it's clear his administration has not followed ethics laws. Zeman says that he stood up for himself shows that he has the sort of integrity the state's been looking for. And he says he once again has documentation to prove it. Zeman says now that more than a year of legal fighting is over, he'll once again display his ethics certificate on his office door. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
AM580's Mike Sola calls for a partly sunny day today throughout Illinois and Indiana. There's a chance of a shower or a few thunderstorms developing late in the afternoon in western Illinois. We'll have highs between 77 and 82 degrees, 80 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, becoming partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms in Illinois, isolated areas of rain in Indiana, and lows ranging from 54 in eastern Indiana to 62 in southern Indiana. In Champaign-Urbana, our low tonight should be around 58. For tomorrow, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. There are some areas of heavy rainfall possible, most likely in the north. Highs tomorrow ranging from 66 in far northwest Illinois to near 80 in southern Indiana. It'll be a 73-degree high in Champaign-Urbana. Looking ahead to Thursday, mostly cloudy and cooler with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 65. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.